As you will know, we're to turn today to the verse 57. The words of the 57th verse, let me suggest, are to be words for every child of God. It's like renewing your vows. It's like coming back to square one again, making a new beginning, making a new start. I have said, you'll see those words. These are the words we're emphasizing today. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said. I have said that I would keep thy words. Let us think about what we have here. As I'm suggesting, it's the day for the Christian to make a new start. It's like coming back to the Lord. Not suggesting you're a backslider or anything like that. But nevertheless, there are opportunities which come the way of the Christian to make a fresh start, to make a new commitment, to say, Lord, here's my heart, here's my life. I give my life again to Thee. I believe that day has come. I believe that every soul in this congregation who can genuinely say, the Lord has saved me and He has watched over me, then I have to say the day has come for you to say something, for you to say something again to the Lord and mean it. We have heard of some who, having a wedding celebration in mind, will come back and remake their vows. It's as if saying, well, we didn't make a mistake. The husband saying, when I chose my partner, I didn't make a mistake choosing my wife. It's like a wife to say, well, I haven't made a mistake in choosing my partner. My husband is the one for me. And there, in a figure, it's like taking the stand all over again and making a new beginning. Now, we can certainly say when it comes to the Lord, there is the utmost necessity on the part of the Christian to say, I want to say, Lord, what I said the day I was saved. Just want to go back and say it all again. That would be lovely. I want you to do it today. Let's bow briefly in prayer. Oh Lord, we have a great opportunity today to bow the knee again at the foot of the old rugged cross. We have a great opportunity again to make a new start in the service of Christ. We have things, Lord, to lament, things to regret. We haven't been all that we would have wanted to be. We have to confess that, Lord, our love sometimes has been cold instead of burning like a fire. We haven't been as bright for Thee. There are missed opportunities. There are times, Lord, when we had to reproach ourselves because we didn't speak for Thee and we should have done. We haven't been quick enough, Lord, to see the opportunity at times. But we mean to do well. We mean to please Thee. We mean to strike out for heaven. We want to be at our best for Thee. Lord, in a special way, honor this meeting. In a special way, come and take up Thy word. May there be the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if ever a preacher stood to minister the things of God before a congregation, and for that man to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, grant this day such an experience that we may be filled with Thy Spirit. Lord, hear our cry in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the 8th section of this alphabetical psalm. As you can see, the name of the letter stands at the head of these 8 verses. It's the letter Heth, or some pronounce it Het. It doesn't really matter, I suppose, how we pronounce it. Doesn't matter a great deal anyway. But this is the 8th letter of the golden alphabet in Scripture. And 8 is the number of a new beginning. Hence, I had good reason to say to you, the Christian has a golden opportunity to make a fresh start. Just to go back to the Lord and to say to Him what He said the day He was saved. Everyone here washed in the blood of the Lamb has the opportunity now to do that. And I want you to say, Lord, You have refreshed my soul. You have blessed me in particular, helping me to come to that point. It is a good thing to say it. And to say again what you said to the Lord the day you were saved. This comes out in the opening verse of the portion. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said, let me suggest, that's part of the saying too. I have said that, Lord, Thou art mine. We sang the words in the service, dear Savior, Thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Well, the message is, say it again. Say it again. I have said it. I have said that I would keep Thy words. Now, every letter in the psalm here is a picture. God not only used letters of the alphabet, to set out the words of Holy Scripture, but He was pleased to put a picture to every letter. And we like looking at pictures. It's the ABC book for the child of God. And some of you who have good memories will still remember getting the wee reader, A for apple, B for bear, and so on. Well, this is God's alphabet. And every letter has a picture. Only this time, God has put the picture to the letter. As far as the letter Chet is concerned, the picture is that of the fence. You will remember, perhaps, that I have spoken to you about the nail. That's found at verse 41, Vav. That was the nail. Then we came to verse 49, Zion. That was the hammer. And now we come to the fence. Already we have seen the house. The second letter of the alphabet is the house. The ox was the first letter. And so we can see a young man setting up in life. The first thing, before he has the house, before he has the wife, so to speak, he must be able to keep her. So the ox comes in first. Then comes the house. And by we have the door and the window, then the hammer and the nails. And do you see it? Do you see this? The house is not complete without the fence. God is saying, and the lessons must be clear, God is saying concerning the spiritual household of the believer, put a fence all around the property. Use the hammer and the nails. Get the fence into place. There must be a fence right around the whole of the house of God. I ask you to go for a moment to Job chapter 1. Here, the devil complains to God about Job. He's saying, but Lord, You've put a fence about him and about his household and about all that he has on every side. That's Job 1 and 10. The complaint of the devil about the servant of God called Job. You should look at this. I want you to get the sense of it. Before ever we make our vows again, make a new start with God, you would need to see how essential it is to get the fence up between you and the world and between you and the devil. In verse 10, it's the devil's complaint. Hast not thou made an hedge about him? And I can't get at him. The devil has set his heart on making an all-out attack on Job. And when I say has set his heart, if you look at verse 8, you may see in the margin against the word considered, the literal Hebrew in the verse there is set thy heart on. The devil has set his heart on destroying Job. The devil has set his heart on attacking that man. We shouldn't imagine that things are any different nowadays. The devil can set his heart not on doing good. The devil doesn't set his heart on helping you onwards with God. But the devil sets his heart on bringing down the child of God. I would that I could get close to you. I would that I could sit down in the seat there alongside of you and open up the book and say, don't you know, we're talking about you. We're talking about you. The devil may set his heart on destroying you, destroying your happiness, destroying your Christian life, destroying your testimony. The devil set his heart on this. And he complains. He complains to God that the Lord has put such a hedge about this man, about all that he has, and about, notice the words. Notice the words here in Job 1 and 10 in particular. It's not only about him, but glory to God. Yes, the hedge is around him, for himself, but furthermore, around his house. We have already mentioned the house, and we have said it is necessary to get the fence up, because the devil has set his heart on making an all-out attack against the people of God. You need the hedge there. The hedge must be in place. And it is clear from Job 1 that by the blood of the sacrifice and by prayer, Job sought every day to make sure the hedge was in position. And the devil cannot lay a finger on Job all the while the hedge is there. You can pray today, Lord, put a hedge about me. You need the mind to be guarded. You need the heart to be guarded. You need the way the feet were traveling to be guarded. You will want the hedge around you every day. Listen, this is important. If you would make a new start with God this day, do pray that the Lord might put a hedge, put a fence all around the property. Take another illustration. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22. There were certain laws in operation for life in the land of promise. And these laws affected things people did and things people had. Now, while those laws were in force and had, there were reasons obviously for those laws, yet there were spiritual lessons too. This is the marvel about the Bible. There are things that govern everyday life. Matters as simple as ABC, but oh, what a powerful message there is, spiritually. In verse 8, just like the letters of our alphabet have suggested, there's a man putting up a house. It's a new house. Some of you have had to do that. And you have had a lot of thought putting up that new property. When thou buildest a new house, thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. This is a law. It's a law established by God. Put a battlement up there on the roof. You see, houses in the lands of the East have had flat roofs. And up there, since the roof is accessible then, being flat, it's accessible by an outside stairway. The stairs go up to the roof. The family will spend a lot of time up there on the roof. And God is saying, make sure when you've built the stairs and you've completed the roof, before there are wee ones running about up there, you've got to think of the safety of the children. You better put a battlement all around the edges of the roof. Why? That there be no blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. The house of the child of God is to be a safe place to go to. It ought to be a safe place for the children because it's protected. There's a wall all around it. Glory to God. There's a wall. Some of you have been brought up in a Christian home. You may not always have appreciated it. But I tell you this, the wall is there out of necessity. God has put it there. The teaching is, you need a fence round the property. And in the matter of the new house, don't forget the battlements. You may want something else. Maybe the money's running short. Often the case when the new house is going up. But most important, don't forget the battlements. You can't cut short on that. Whatever else you drop out off your agenda, don't leave out the battlements. Make sure the battlements are up. These are walls right around the four edges of the house. If there are children there, they're safe. What about the house of God? Don't you think we need a battlement? A wall, a hedge, a fence put around the property? The Lord Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because there's a wall round about it. The wall of protection the Lord puts around His property. And all the while, in your lifetime, the Lord has been protecting you. And you can have reason this day to bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, I need the fence. You're living in a hostile domain. You're living in the devil's territory. And you certainly need a fence to be there. There must be a wall of separation between the child of God and the world around about. I have indicated to you before now that not only does a single letter of the alphabet stand at the head of the section, but every verse, there are 8 verses in every section, every verse begins with a word which has that letter in it. That letter is the initial letter of the word in question. Let me run down the verses. In verse 57, it is the word portion. So you will consider that. The Lord is your portion. You're like the Levite. You can't have a possession in the land. Your possession is to be the Lord Himself. That's a lesson for the Christian. Furthermore, in verse 58, it's the word entreated. Then, verse 59, it's the word thought. These are all key words in this part of the psalm. These are the words that have the letter Chet as the initial in each case. Verse 60, it's haste, making haste. In verse 61, the bands of the wicked. Verse 62, midnight. Verse 63, companion. And in verse 64, it's the word mercy. Mark these words. They ought to stand out in our thinking. What can I say of this section of the psalm? It seems to be all about Christian testimony. So this portion of the psalm is about the testimony of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord's people. And there is reason to suggest the marks of a good testimony are here. I have been thinking already of Testimony Month. That time of the year has come round again. But it's the testimony of the Lord. What are the marks of a good testimony? First of all, I have to say, counting out the marks of a good testimony, you will want to make much of Christ. Give me a man who in his testimony will say much about the Savior, will indicate Christ is my all in all. Well then, look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. That's the first thing to establish. So if you were to give your testimony this day, the first thing is not this, that, or the other thing that you could mention. The first thing is Christ. Your testimony is to be paid to Him. That's where the emphasis lies. It's what you say about Him. I would like you to flit across to Lamentations chapter 3. I can't take time with this as I would like. But look at Lamentations chapter 3. There's a wee exercise I have for you. Just a test, if you like. Simple mathematics. Not a very popular subject for some in the school. But nevertheless, we will just have a simple lesson for once in the sermon. So look at Lamentations 3. The first thing I want you to notice is how many verses there are in the chapter? How many verses in Lamentations 3? You'll come up with the answer, of course, 66. That maybe doesn't mean very much. Except, I will remind you of our psalm, Psalm 119. How many sections? If you have remembered well, more than likely some have forgotten, but there are 22. 22 sections. And it is the easiest thing for most who are here to do a little bit of work with the numbers. 3 times 22, 66. Now that's not coincidence. Because Lamentations 3 is an alphabetical chapter. And there are 3 letters every time, 3 verses every time given to the one letter of the alphabet. So we want to find our letter, which is the 8th one. And we must, in Lamentations 3, think of verse 22, 23, and 24. These are the verses in Lamentations 3 that are like the fence wrapped all around the child of God. There's a similarity. And what you find here to the portion in the Psalm 119, I want you to notice it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. In other words, it is of the Lord's mercy we're still alive. Isn't that great? You know why? You know why you're alive?
because God has put a fence around about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is a striking thing that in this alphabetical chapter in the Bible, with three verses to every letter, when we come to that little section about the fence, we should discover right away how it is we're here in the devil's domain and still alive, glory to God. The Lord has put a fence around His property. He has put the blood mark upon His saints, and He will see to it, for the most part, that they're kept here on this earth. They're in the devil's domain, but He will keep them here for a testimony. No wonder the 8th section of the psalm is about a testimony. And that's the reason for the fence, that you continue to be a witness, a testimony for Him. And when you look at verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You could burst into song. And verse 24, it's like the beginning of our section in Psalm 119. No coincidence, because the same stamp is on it. The Lord is my portion. What is it? What is it? Saith. Saith my soul. You're to sit. Make a fresh start. Let the words of your testimony be repeated all over again. Lord, I have said, back there, on the day of my conversion, I have said that I would be thine. I have said, Lord, that I would live for thee. I have said that I would quit the world. I have said that I would stand unashamedly for Christ. Let me say it again. That's what my soul saith. The Lord is my portion. Psalm 119:57 all over again. Therefore, will I hope in Him. Glory to God. The fence is still here. The devil would tear at it. He wants to rip it away so that he can get at the saints of God. And remember, the devil can set his heart and making a real go at you. And you've got to say, Lord, keep the fence in place. Every Christian, every child of God in this meeting needs to say today, Lord, keep the fence where it is. There was a time when the Lord lifted the fence in the case of Job, because the devil was saying he's a fair weather friend. And it's fine for anybody to say, of course, I'll have the Lord. The devil says, when the sun's shining, everything is well, he has his health, he has every blessing, every commodity. It's fine for him to say, of course, I'd have the Lord. But the devil says, take it away from him, and you'll see a difference. Take it away from him. Well, the Lord said, you're on. If you want a challenge, if you want a contest, if you want a confrontation, you're on. And I can let you take away from him this, that, and the other thing that he has and that he praises and cherishes. You can just take them away and you'll find out. When you do, he'll still stand true. He stands true to the blood and true to the book. He's still there, standing for the Lord. But we need the fence.
Can we look quickly at the psalm, verse 57 in the psalm? I have touched already on the words, but there has to be more than words and a testimony. If we had fine words and nothing else to back it up, then we would have to say, now the testimony is dubious. And I would want there to be more than words in your testimony. The words are important, and we have to say things. We have to say them to God, but we must go on from the words. And look at verse 58. He will back up his profession by showing his whole heart. And that's what we've got to say. The whole man must be in the testimony. His whole being. There's no use the testimony being, as it were, consisting of the words merely. But the heart must be in it. The whole heart at that. When I talk about this man in the Psalms, I see him entirely committed. He's the Lord's property from head to toe, all the way. He's the Lord's property. And when today you're going to reestablish the testimony, when you're going to say again what you said the day you were saved, I want you to say, settle this in your heart. I'm the Lord's with all my being, with all my soul.
I am the Lord.
That was how Lamentations puts it. Saith my soul, the whole of the man is saying it. Just notice this for interest. Verse 57, it's the tongue, what is said. In verse 58, it's the heart. In verse 59, find the word feet. There's the whole man, head to toe, the tongue, the heart, the feet. And when you've got the tongue, the heart, and the feet, you've got the whole man. And there he is, committed to the Lord. It's the whole heart, you'll observe. This is important. If you're going to make a fresh start today, let the whole heart be committed. There's no use. Listen, allow me to put this to you. There's no use you living for the Lord with half the heart. I would say that's an insult to the Lord, that you should offer Him half your heart. You don't want to be half-hearted. If you're making a fresh commitment this day, then make it with all the heart. Let the whole man be in it. Let it be said that spirit, soul, and body, I belong to Him. From head to toe, I'm His. That's the message that's here. I entreated thy face with my whole heart. Let there be nothing between you and the Lord. Anything at all can creep up, get into your life, and get in between you and the Lord. I want to suggest that there's somebody here in this service now. And whatever it is, you have let something come up and it's between you and the Lord. You're not happy. Of course you're not. How could you be? There's something between you and the Lord. You're not willing to settle that issue. You should have settled it before now. It shouldn't be a case of the preacher having to mention it. When you're here in the meeting, you should have had it settled already. Let there be nothing. It's thy face. I have entreated thy face with my whole heart, that there is nothing between me and the Lord on any matter. Look at his prayer here. First of all, what he prayed in verse 58. What he prayed for. He prayed for thy favor, for the favor of God upon him. Notice how he prayed in verse 58. He prayed with his whole heart. That's the way I want you to pray. I want you to pray for God's favor in your life, and I want you to pray with your whole heart. Then notice thirdly the substance of his prayer, or the pattern of his prayer. For it is, verse 58, according to thy word. You can only pray in accordance with the book. Get the book of God open when you pray. Pray according to the promise. Pray over the scriptures that you have in front of you. Pray through every line, every word in the Bible that's there. Let the word of God prompt you in prayer. That's important. Then notice the effect of his prayer in verse 58. Prayer, listen, if prayer is effective, it makes you think. And he shows here this to be the case. I thought in my ways. Prayer is useless. Allow me to suggest, prayer is useless if it's only like a wee rhyme to get you through the day, if it doesn't make you think. And prayer is useless if it doesn't change your life. Now it is evident, if you look at verse 59, there's a powerful change taking place. I have entreated thy mercy. I have sought thy favor. I have looked, Lord, with all my heart to thee. I have prayed according to the word, and now I have thought in my ways. Hallelujah! I want you to think. I want you to do serious thinking. I want you to think about your ways. I've got to talk to the young who are here. I don't single the young out as a category, as if we would be forgetful of those who are older. Of course, we have the people who are older. But I want those of you who are young to strike out for heaven. I want you to live for the Lord. I want you to live for that which is right. I want you to know the proper values in life. I want you to know you've got a hold by the book. I want you to make a new start. You're here now. You're a young person. I want you to make a new start. And how do you make a new start? Well, we're not leaving out the other things in 57 and 58, but we've got to come to verse 59. I thought on my ways. I want you to think on your ways. I want you to think about where your feet are taking you. I want you to think about the road to hell, for example. There are some here who are not saved. And if you would think on your ways, you'll have to reach the conclusion, look, I'm not right. I'm not saved. I'm headed for hell. I thought on my ways, and what then? And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Praise God, there's a change. And if we had a testimony meeting now, if we were to give the opportunity to God's children who are here, you would have to say, not only did I say to the Savior, Thou art mine, my portion, but I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. There's a powerful change. I said to you moments ago, it is the number of a new beginning. It in the Bible speaks of conversion, of a turning to the Lord. And what do we have in this 8th section of the Psalm 119, but very vividly, very graphically put, a turning unto the Lord. I thought on my ways. I want there to be serious thought today. I want you to think on your ways. I want you to think on where you're going. You see here, mention of the feet. I may say a strange thing, but the feet have to be converted as well as the heart. I'm afraid with some, this isn't theologically correct, but we're just using an illustration. I'm afraid with some, it's almost like the heart being touched without the feet, but the feet have to be converted too. I thought in my ways. I did some serious thinking, and I turned my feet. There's a change, a radical change in the life, and that's necessary. If you would strike out for heaven, if you would live for Jesus Christ, there must be a radical transformation taking place in your life. We can't leave out verse 60. Notice the promptitude of his response to God. I made haste, I delayed not to keep thy commandments. Once you know what right is, the sooner you do it, the better. I've got to say that. It really is very suitable for the young, this portion. Once you settle it in your heart, you know what right is. You know the right thing to do. You know it full well. You know what right is. Then the sooner you do it, the better. I made haste. That's what the message is. The sooner you do it, the better. I made haste. Look, if the Lord shows you the way of the cross, run for it. Run for it. If the Lord shows you the way out, run for it. And make sure it's with the whole heart. Run for it. I made haste and delayed not. How many have had to say, I knew I should be saved, but I kept putting it off. You weren't making haste. And you did delay. And it's necessary, if the Lord is speaking to your soul this day about your life, it's necessary that you make haste about it. Don't allow the devil a second chance in your experience. And there's testing. In verse 61, testing, the bands of the wicked. It would have been enough if there had been one band, more than enough if there had been one band robbed him. But he says here, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. There is a time in the Christian's life when he is tested. Maybe, as in the case of Job, the Lord lifts the fence a wee bit just for the time being to let you know you're still here, you're still in the devil's domain. The devil may set his heart on you, true enough. You better know this. If the Lord kept you safe all the way, in every sense, maybe if life had been without a trial, you would have been useless as a servant of Christ. David said of Saul's armor, I can't go with these to meet Goliath. Can't go with these at all. Can't have this armor. I haven't tested it. And how can the Lord use you if he hasn't tested you? And here the psalmist is saying, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Things always don't go according to plan. And the servant of God here has been robbed. He doesn't tell us what he lost in that robbery. Yet he says this, and I like it. I like what I have in verse 61 at the end, but I have not forgotten. I've not forgotten the book. I've not forgotten the word. Not forgotten thy law. Lord, I'm still with you. I'm still going on. The devil has had a crack at me. He has struck at me very effectively, and I felt the blow. Oh, it was a sore blow leveled at me, and I have reeled. I have reeled under that blow. But I haven't forgotten. Praise the Lord. I haven't forgotten the book. That's a key thing. And there's another trial in verse 62. The trial of trouble and anxiety, a sleepless night. When you cannot sleep, what are you to do? Sleep flees away from your eyes and you can't find the rest that you require. He says here, when the night is half through, when the night is halfway gone, I will get up. I'll get up and get on my knees and give thanks to Thee. You have a reason then to thank the Lord when things are not running according to plan. Matthew Henry is maybe the most renowned commentator still. His work is excellent in the main as you go through the Bible with him. He had a godly father. His father was called Philip. Philip Henry was a servant of the Lord too. One day, Philip Henry fell foul of robbers, and he took it very badly. He had lost some things of value and of especially sentimental attachment. And he was very distressed, very downhearted over the whole thing. Then the thought came to him. Came with power. In everything, give thanks. And the devil seemed to be there. Can you give thanks to the Lord for this? This has really gone badly with you. And you're distressed. Look how cast down and wretched you are. Can you give thanks for this? And he studied it out. He said to himself, I'll try. So he put some thoughts together and he said, thank the Lord that I was the one who was robbed and not the robber. I thank the Lord for that. Then he said another thing. I thank the Lord that I was only robbed the one time and I was never robbed before. Then he said in the third place, although I lost much in this robbery, I didn't lose everything. Hallelujah. And in the fourth place he said, and although I have lost my possessions, I didn't lose my life. I'm still alive. The robbers could have killed me. And in the fifth place he said, although I have been robbed and I have lost these valuables, and that has distressed me, it's nearly broken my heart, I still have the Lord. And I still have the Bible. And he wasn't exhausting his list here, for he said something else. I thank the Lord there'll be no robbers in heaven. It was a great thing. At midnight, when the hour is dark, I will rise and give thanks to Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. The time is gone, but look at verse 63. There's where you need a hedge. You need a hedge about your companionships. You've got to be careful. It's designed for the young, this portion. You can very easily make friends somewhere else. You can get your friends outside the family, outside of God's people. And it's not going to be the right thing, no matter how much you're tempted. Please hear me in this. Try to hear with the heart. Do try to hear with all the understanding. It'll be maybe a matter of great pressure for you to yield and allow that friendship to develop with somebody who's not saved. This you cannot do. Don't make a mistake in this matter. Listen, you need a fence around you. You need the fence. And the psalmist is putting you right in this thing. I am a companion of all them that fear Thee and of them that keep Thy precepts. He's not a companion with the robbers. He's no pal with the ungodly. His friendship is clearly determined. It's settled. He's a companion of those who fear the Lord. And listen, when it comes to getting a Christian friend for your companion, and you've got to think about this. That Christian friend needs to be one who fears the Lord. And what about you and your companionship? Lastly, we have thanksgiving. The earth is full of Thy mercy, full of the loving kindness of the Lord. I want to be like that. It's as if he's saying, Lord, teach me some more. Let me see the beauty of the Lord everywhere I go. That's the way it ought to be. Lord, we stand here now in Thy presence, blood washed, spirit born, heaven bound, our hearts full of gladness for the way that Thou hast preserved us all the while we've been here in the devil's domain. Thou hast promised to take us safely through to glory at the last. And Lord, Thou hast been faithful. Thy mercies are new every morning. Bless us now. Help us to rejoice in Thee. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abide with us now and always. Amen.